Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
What up, it's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, I've done many shows with my guests this evening, and we generalize life in a sport aspect, and we will touch on some variances in the sport, but tonight I wanted to do a one-on-one, in-depth special with a man that I truly trust, admire, and I look up as a mentor and how we all should be in life. You know, Jacob Stitch Duran has changed the lives of many, but there's much more, much, much more to the man than the sport. With that being said, welcome to the program, Jacob Duran. How you doing, my brother?
What's up, Don? Man, you always give me these nice intros. I love you, man.
Hey, truth. Truth, yeah. Reality. You know.
Yeah, you make it sound good. It's like these MGM movies.
I appreciate that.
The start of a movie. That's where you are, man. You're the quiet lion.
You know,
yeah, go ahead, man.
Let's take the stitch away from your name. Let's look into Jacob Duran. I'm going to ask you a question that many don't understand, but probably will have a greater understanding. And that's all we can do in life is give people a greater understanding of what this country was, what this country is, and what this country can be. And the same with humanity and compassion and unity. But there's a man that's very near and dear to you and me. There's a man that was the Latino version, I guess you could say, of Martin Luther King in many aspects, and that being Cesar Estrada Chavez. When you look at what Chavez did for the people and for this country, what words come from the heart of Jacob Duran?
Pure respect. You know, I grew up in that era, man. In fact, I grew up as a farm worker. You know my life story. I grew up in the San Joaquin Valley, the Central Valley of California, and when I was born and raised in a migrant camp, Camp Number 12, CPC Number 12 for California Packing Company. But I remember, I think that's shit, I was like 12 years old, Don, when Cesar Chavez started the huelga. That's when they walked from Delano, California, to the state capital in Sacramento. And what they did, they took all the back roads, and there was 50 to 100 to 200 that would march, and they would go from little town to little town. Well, they stopped by our little town, Planada, and, the town put them up. I mean, our town was like 1,500 people, but it's all farm workers. So we put them up, and, you know, I remember my parents said, you know, we fed them, and they slept. They spent the night, you know. All these families took out all these people and washed their clothes and took care of them for that moment. Then the next day, they continued their walk. So I was, you know, I respected the people. My parents were, part of the movement, you know, so I respected Cesar Chavez for being the face of doing things right and making it fair for everybody, because you know, the working conditions we had, Don, were, as you look at life now, they were horrible. Pesticides and drinking out of the same tin can of water with the same tin cup and, you know, just no restroom for anybody. You know, my mom and sisters would have to go somewhere in, out in the orchards and just squat and go, you know, and Cesar Chavez and people like that made it better for everybody. But I was there.
Yeah. Well, many don't know this aspect about me, even though my mother is Indian. And, you know, people would think, oh, well, what does Indian have to do with a migrant farm worker? But you look, my mother comes from the Midwest, and my father came from Mexico, Missouri, you know. And my mother and my father both, being immigrants, they worked the migrant farm worker trail from the Midwest to California and ultimately ended up in San Francisco. You know, I don't think people give due diligence to what the immigrants, the migrants have done for this country. You know, you hear today people say, well, import them back to Mexico, or that person doesn't belong in this country. But in reality, there is no true American. There is no one true set origin or ethnic aspect that created this country. It was created on the blood, sweat, and tears of people like my mother, people like your family. You know, Stitch, you've come a long way in life, and you've showed many that you can live in obscurity, you can live in poverty, but that doesn't define who you are, doesn't make you realize, oh, I have to stay in this situation. What was it in your life, sir, that made you realize that you were going to show Jacob Duran not only can you climb up from where you were, but that you could live your dream?
Yeah. Who would have thought, right? It still blows my mind, Tom, you know, that I'm this little kid that grew up as a farm worker and always had dreams. And here I am. My dreams are fulfilling my dream, but I'm still going through, you know, shit. How did I get here? You know, it's quite a mind-blowing thing, but it's something I always kept telling myself, and that I was going to be a professional at something. You know, I always thought it was going to be American baseball. I loved playing baseball, and, you know, I would play as often as I could, and, you know, Little League and Pony League and, you know, high school, 4 years of high school, and, you know, walking on to a college, and, you know, baseball was always my thing, but I never did it, but I did it in this sport. But nonetheless, I knew that whatever I was going to do, I was going to excel at what I did. And I think the whole bottom line, you know, down to what you do, to what I do, to what people that are listening do, that make them exceptional, is they go beyond what you think your limits are going to be. And, you know, and if you do it, I always tell people, you know, if you're not scared, something's wrong, man. And if you are scared, you know, cross that line, you know, because you'll never get there unless you cross it. But it's knowing how to accept it and just shit. My family, I'll tell you this, because we kind of keep this amongst my family, but my brothers and sisters, that we all grew up as farm workers, our mentality is, you know what, if we fail at this, we could always go pick tomatoes. That we know how to do, you know? So that's always been, everything is mindset. And then, you know, and everything is numbers. Not everybody's going to make it, but, you know, what makes me any different than anybody else? And like when I did the Creed movie, you know, I told Stallone, I said, man, I can't sleep at night, you know? And he said, well, what's wrong? I said, now I'm in Philadelphia, I'm filming a movie with you and Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler. And he says, hey, man, he goes, you earned it. And I thought about it, and I said, you know what, I did. I did it through hard work and doing the right things. And then, you know, you look at life and think, you know, it has to happen to somebody. And I just happen to have been that chosen one. So, but I'm like, I'm a believer like you, Don. We always got to give that back, because it means nothing. If you brag about yourself, that means nothing. You know, it's not even about that. It's about inspiring other people.
It really is. You know, I had a homeboy do a post on Facebook, and I chewed into him, man. I got into that ass, and he said, "Why are you mad at me, homie?"
You said, Don, quiet storm got into his ass. Damn, I want to hear this.
Well, he did a post about how an elderly lady fell on the street and dropped her bag of groceries, and how he picked her up and helped her and this and that. See, I don't look at life that way. You know, I jumped in his rear end because something my grandfather, who's not my real blood, but it's the man that created me and made me. You know, good deeds are to be relished in the heart, I told him. I said, homie, with you bragging about what you're doing, takes away every bit of why you did it.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
It does, man. I mean, this is a one-on-one with Don and Stitch, so we're going to get deep, homie, because you know me. I'm already good at what I do, and I like to just, you know, if it ain't factual, then why put it out there? And I don't do things for a like. I don't do things for a share. Never have. Never will. And as far as awards go, I could give two craps about them. Awards don't mean nothing to me. You know, they don't. What does it mean? I did my job right. Okay, so what?
Yeah.
I did a job that I was hired to do. So you're going to award me for doing my job right? That just makes the people that don't do their job, you know, hate you, and it creates bigotry and aspects of unnecessary thoughts at work. You know, we're all created equal. You know, and I don't know, I'm just a little bit different. And you know me better than anybody else probably in the sport business. But, you know, we're walking days that Chavez, that Jacob Duran, that Don McGuire, and many have never walked before. These are days that we've never seen, we never thought, we never expected. When you sit back, because you got a family, when you sit back and you see the world crumbling in front of your eyes, how does it make your heart feel, homie?
You know, it's a trip, man. It's like a science fiction movie. You know, all the shit that's going on right now, and you know, you kind of break it down as to the reality. And you know, Don, that's a good question. I'll get into and talk about deep thoughts, right? So before all this, before the lockdown went, see, I had worked, if you remember, I finished, before we went on lockdown, I had a good run on some good fights. I worked with the bare knuckle fight. And then the next week, I worked with Tyson Fury. Then the week after, I worked with Jesse Vargas. These are all championship fights. And then the week after, I was in New York. I was going to do a show at Madison Square Garden with Shakir Stevenson. So I got there on Thursday, and everybody, the panic was already kicking in New York, right? And but it still was in the early stages. So I get there Thursday, and they're saying, well, you know what? The fights are still going to go on, but they're not going to have an audience. And I said, well, good. You know, as long as they throw a blow, then I know I get paid. So we waited, and then Friday morning they call and said, you know what, the fight's been canceled. So they booked me a flight back, and I had to wait like 4 hours. And so I'm walking around Manhattan, and I'm just looking at the mental stress that I could see in the faces of people walking by me. And you know, the thing with our sport, and especially me as a cut man, I always focus on the eyes when I'm working on a fighter because the eyes tell me everything. Well, these people were getting mentally drained, and that was just the beginning of where we are now. So, you know, I feel sorry for so many people throughout the world. I mean, this shit's just not one spot. It's everywhere. But on my spot, so, you know, I mean, it's horrible, you know, what's going on. But you kind of break it down. You know, you can't see your kids.
I can't go and hug you. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, it's basically we're on lockdowns, my wife and I. But in the positive to a negative is the time that I've been here. Well, let me go back. So that fight was supposed to be on the 14th of March. So on the 13th, we came back, and that following, I think that week and or that Monday after, that's when they started the lockdown. But in doing that, I've been away from, you know, my daughter, my son, my two daughters, my son's grandkids. I haven't been around them. We've been in house isolation. But I, on the positive side, is I've been with my wife 28 years. I think like 35 altogether. But, you know, I've always been on the road. Well, this time, we're spending 100% of the time with each other, and it's brought us real, real close, you know. And I have to say, because of the events that I had before, that financially I'm okay. And, you know, so, and that's it. But it's just in the situation we're at right now, it's not good at all, and it's not going to be good for a while.
You know, I remember that call with you because we were set to work our – well, I was under the impression that we were set to work our first bare knuckle together, and I got called you, and you were in New York, and I got to tell you, I was a little disappointed because we haven't seen each other quite – go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you're right, because you and I were going to – you know, I always worked the bare knuckle fight. But this one with Shakir Stevenson popped up, and of course the economics and boxing outweigh, you know, when I get an MMA and bare knuckle fights, even though those are good. So that was and then Shakir Stevenson is, you know, one of the guys I work with on a regular basis. But yeah, it would have been you and I, and the bare knuckle fights got canceled that same day. You're right.
Yeah. It killed me, bro, because I was booked solid for 3 months, not only in bare knuckle, but in boxing and in MMA and seminars. I mean, it had been the best 3 months in a long time. And I got the call from bare knuckle the night before, and one call after another, after another, after another. And the next day, my wife was laid off from work. And, you know, I had that car accident the year prior, and I blew through my 50, 60,000 that I had in my kitty, you know, stacked away, because we only get paid by the job, you know that. And
yeah, of course.
So I blew through that money really quick because I was deemed at fault in Iraq, even though I didn't hit another car, and the state troopers said it wasn't my fault, but of course, the insurance company doesn't see that things that way. When they deem you at fault, you pay for everything, and it hurts, you know. And so when my wife called me and said, I've been laid off from work, sheer panic came across my heart, bro. And you talk about financially that you're secure, but the way society, the way politics, the way things are going, they're pushing for a cashless society. They're saying that money really isn't going to have any value to it. And if that in fact is true, and in the next coming months or year or two, whatever it may be, if they do go to a cashless society, if our money means nothing, because some of my colleagues around the world, they can't even get their money out of the banks right now. The government has basically froze their money and taken their money. How is a man that is on top of the world going to look at his family and say, everything that I've worked for means nothing? And knowing in the heart of the man that I know you are, how are you going to handle knowing that there's a possibility you might not be able to feed your family, because you and I both know they're covering crops. They're not letting milk out. There's meat shortages. How are you as a man, Jacob, gonna hold in your heart and come up with them words to tell your family
You know, I'm gonna wait till that shit happens. Yeah. Well, listen. You know, to me, there's so many stories that come in and so many stories that go out. I'm listening to. I quit listening to them, theories and all that. But the way I look at it is right now, what I'm doing is I'm enjoying my life being here. For the worst case scenario, I'm with my wife and we're having a good time. But you know, if things started to change, I'll wait till that happens. Right now, you know, they're all conspiracy theories, and we don't know. Nobody knows. But you know, I always look at everything, and I weigh it out as we do in boxing. You know, boxing, as the saying in boxing goes, that the only thing that counts in boxing is the truth. And as you look and you break down what's going on and all these fucking conspiracy theories, and you know, I quit looking at them because I can't do shit about it. So
you're right.
Until the fucking time comes, I'm gonna enjoy my wife. I got me some fucking vape here, man, to sit back and just kick back and enjoy life. And you know, if it comes to no money, and I know, you know, I've been to some takeouts where it's only credit card, but fuck, that's the way down, man. Take a deep breath, brother. Don't let it get you, because it'll destroy you. And I always think about these people in New York that I saw before I came back home. The depression that I could see in their faces, the stress. And I was, fuck that. I'm not going to get myself into that, you know. So don't, you know, any shit you could do. And like I say, the only thing that counts is the truth. And I think things will work out, because it's not only here in the United States, but this shit is worldwide, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what makes it quite a very, very serious thing. But at this stage, you're a piece of gravel in the sand. You know, just a pebble in the sand.
Oh, yeah, we're just a flake. And, you know, it's tremendous, because we in this sport, we create brotherhoods that are truly global, truly global. I mean, I have friends from just about every country that I've broke bread with. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, and I want most people to understand this, and I know you'll get where I'm going, Karnal. You know, see, people, I don't know what everybody believes in, but I believe in God. And with that, there's hope. But one thing I think we all need to realize is we're not even promised 5 minutes from now. We're not even promised tomorrow. So what I take you're saying, Jacob, is we've got to live in the moment. We've got to enjoy the moment, because, like I said, with all reality, we're not promised tomorrow. Nobody gives us. Yeah. You know, it's just, as a 55-year-old man, I look up to you because you've got years on me. I've been married longer than you, but I just celebrated my 35th wedding anniversary. So I got, that's the only thing I think I got you beat on, bro.
Yeah, well, that's all right. It's all right. You can have it.
Oh, I think my wife would disagree with you.
Yeah, props to you, man. Yeah.
But the thing of it is when you look at there is no promise of tomorrow, that's reality. And conspiracy after conspiracy theory, we can let that drain us. We can let that tear us down. And we can't do that. People, like Jacob said, it's a global thing. And I know I'm the only one that gets away with calling you Jacob. And
it feels good. And you know what? Let me change this. I'm glad you called me Jacob, because that was another thing. Don, is since I've been here in isolation with my wife, I have not been Stitch at all. I'm back to being Jacob. And brother, you just don't know how good it feels. And for you to call me Jacob, then that just adds to it. So I just had to throw that in.
Well, I've always admired you. You know, the legend of the sport, the icon of the sport is Stitch. The world famous cut man is Stitch. But my brother's Jacob.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm Jacob, actually, you know, and so, but people that know me, I'm Jacob, right?
Yeah. You know, but you're right.
This is real quick. Let's get back into finishing up what you were saying, because it is pretty heavy, you know, on the way that everything is going and where's it going to go and what are we going to do. But you can't be stressing on that because, for the most part, we ain't got control with it. You and I, per person, per mind, right? And like I say, I've gotten fucking friends. I've 6, 7, 8 different friends that send me different interviews with these people and all that. And I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm leaving. That's just putting nothing but negative thoughts in your mind. And at this point, mentally, you got to be strong mentally and physically, because these are the two elements that are being affected through this virus, is the body and the mind. And the mind has to be, you got to keep it strong, bro. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm always 100, bro. I don't let, you know, that's one thing in life. And people, you might take this wrong, but this is one thing I will let you know about me. And maybe you'll appreciate it, maybe you won't. You know, I'm truly an introvert. You know, people say, how can you be an introvert? You're in a sport that is so extrovert, you know. But I go to these events, I shake hands with many, I know many people. But when I'm not doing the sport, I prefer to be at home just with my family. And I can count on my hand the amount of friends that I've ever allowed over to my house, because I don't think everybody has the right to know the true Don McGuire. And people could say, well, that's kind of crazy, but, you know, we have our business life and we have our family life.
Yep.
And I like to keep the two separate. You know, the thing of it is you and I have crossed that line, and I'm very gracious and blessed that you allowed me into your life, that the Lord blessed us in that way, because you don't open your life to many. I mean, you're a tremendous man of what you do, and you respect everybody that ever comes across your path. But personally, you know, you're a lot like me. It's family.
Yeah, I'm a family guy. You know, I like staying home and doing nothing. That's why I'm kind of used to doing this. You know, because when I was working on the weekends, Monday through Thursday, I'd stay home and sit around the watch TV and, you know, maybe go to Mayweather's gym or Bones Adams gym and go visit the guys and then come back. But I'm kind of used to this. And this is what I do. I'm low key, man. I like going to the movies, and we're family people, Don.
You know, it's funny. We truly are. And like when this food shortage started, you know, I just did a simple thing. And this isn't bragging about what I did, or I'm not even going to go into what I do or anything. But I told people to go back to basics. Because you know what? What you and I grew up on, the butcher threw away. You know, people don't realize that. What we ate, the butcher threw away. But now you try to go to the butcher and buy that stuff, you're going to pay more than you would for a big-ass steak. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. You know, I grew up on oxtail and, pig seed. And, you know, so when this stuff happened and I went to the store and there was nothing there, what did I do? I went to the little Mexican store. I got a 50-pound bag of beans and, I went to the Chinese store. I got a couple 50-pound bags of rice. And I went back to basics, you know. Got flour, things, coffee. You know, because you can always make your own homemade tortillas. You can always, you know, make things from scratch. And, you know, sometimes it takes us to get a reality check to realize where we came from.
That's a good point.
Jake. It's true because, you know, many look at you as one of the greatest men that's ever walked into the sport, and you deserve that title. But you also are a man that knows what it's like to have nothing in life. What does it mean for you as a man, away from the sport, away from the limelight, to have that understanding of where you were, where you are now, where we could be again? You know, where does that perceptiveness, where does that heart lie of Jacob Duran, knowing that, you know, not everybody in our country has a television. Not everybody has a nice apartment. I mean, I can go an hour from where I live, and I know people that have dirt floors, no windows, and lucky if they have a door on their house, and they don't have no running water. They have outhouses. What does it mean for you knowing that aspects like that exist in our country?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's doing nothing about it.
Yeah, that's what, you know, that's something that is, you know, those that are blessed and those that are really good friends with people that aren't as blessed, it's nice, you know, to lend a helping hand during these times. And, you know, like yesterday was a good example. I had a friend of mine, actually, his son used to box years ago, and he owns an air conditioning business. So I called Tony to see if he'd come work on the air conditioner because it wasn't working, you know, and it's getting hot in Vegas. But he came and worked on it, and he gave me his price, and I paid him twice as much. But I did it because, you know, he's an independent contractor, and a little bit is something, you know. And then even the guy that works on my spa and all that, I just kind of, you know, had him do something simple, but I paid him more than he wanted, you know? But it made him feel good, you know, kind of get back. But, you know, you have to do things like that, Don, and unfortunately, you know, I mean, some people are doing it, no doubt, you know, and it just, but you got to have a heart. That's something you can't force somebody to do. It has to come from your heart.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that I love about you and I love about our relationship, because you know many, as I do. And many of our brothers and sisters couldn't hold out. They couldn't make it work. They had to fold up their gyms. How much of a strain of that aspect on your heart? And the second part of the question is, do you think that so many gyms have gone out of business thus far that it's going to be hard for the sport to pick up and be what's it once, you know, be what it once was?
Yeah, it's definitely not the same. You know, just looking at the UFC fights last night, you know, I saw the preliminaries, and it just entirely different. It's not, you know, it's hard to see it go like that. But all these guys that have lost their gyms, you know, I used to have a gym. So I know what it takes to invest, to, you know, start one up, and I know what it takes to get clientele to come into where the business is making money, if not at least running itself. And when you have to start all over again, not every gym owner is going to be able to do that. So it's, I don't know, you know, I don't know if, you know, if you go rent a spot at a fitness center and you have your classes there and pay the, you know, I don't know, but, you know, and there are just so many instances and so many different people in our sport that are going to be affected when it comes for them economically. And so, you know, for me, I am blessed. You know, I told you I'm with Jay Tim, right, with CBD Science. they just put me on as a partnership with them. So, you know, that comes in at a real, real good time. And, you know, the cut cream is stitch cream and cut cream that, you know, we've been using with the bare knuckle fighters. When they get cut, and it we put it on it, and it accelerates the healing process. So I've become partners with them on that. And that's just, you know, that's income that definitely warranted right now. So, and then, you know, I expect boxing to happen. How it's going to happen, MMA, bare knuckle fights, They're going to happen, but how are they going to happen? You know, do you want them to? Well, let me ask you, what did you think of the fights last night? Would you want to, under the circumstances, would you want to continue doing events like that or wait a month, month and a half, and see how everything is done, if it levels off? What was your opinion? You know, tell me what you thought.
Are you going to turn the tables on me, homie, and put me on the spot? Because you know I'm going to answer you truthfully.
Yeah. Well,
honestly, I don't think.
I'll answer you truthfully, but I'll hear you first.
Yeah, I don't think that fight should have happened last night. I honestly don't. I think it's too soon. I think there's too much animosity going on in our country. I mean, it's kind of a bittersweet aspect. It's a double-edged sword, because on some point, you look, the fighters are getting paid and they're making a little bit of money to live off of. But do I think that event should have been held? No. Do I think a sport with no fans and being forced to pay money for an event that is being held when people don't have any money, when there's 62 million people out of work in our country? I personally, in my heart, don't think that event should have happened. I personally think we should wait a month, month and a half, 2 months, and see where people are at. Because, you know, I think the fans of the sport are what create and keep the promotions going. And I think a lot of the fans don't have the money to pay what Dana White wants to watch his fights. And so to me, I think that was kind of a slap in the face to the fans.
Yeah, you know, and that's my point is, you know, yeah, if you wanted to give back, the preliminaries were fine, but why not make the whole card free to the public instead of having a pay-per-view? And but, you know, as I looked at it as me going back to work. And, you know, am I ready to work fights where there's nobody in the audience? You know, of course, we wear gloves because that's something that we do, right? But then to wear a face mask and is too many negatives outweigh the positives. And
yeah.
I'm willing to wait. I think hopefully the bare knuckle fight schedule that I had from before, I think their next show is July the 28th, Don. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Or June the 28th?
June the 28th.
In Topeka, Kansas. So I would prefer to wait up till that point to see how the dust settles, because right now the dust ain't settled. And you can see what happened with Jacare and his two corner guys. You know, that's just, you know, with 300, I was reading there's 300 people that were involved in this whole group, and you got three guys there, that's 1%. You know, so that's not good. You know, and it's all about numbers. And what we're doing here, and the only thing that's going to fix this is everything is based on numbers, doing the things with numbers. So, but yeah, anyway.
It breaks my heart.
You do speak your piece, brother.
Yeah. It just breaks my heart because Dana White pisses me off. I'm sorry. I think that card should have been free for one thing, because if you want to be something, then you know what? The people made you the UFC. Dana White didn't make the UFC the UFC. The fighters didn't make the UFC the UFC. The fans did. The people did. And you know what? Why not give back to the people that made you? That's why I do my show the way I do. People say, well, Don, why do you have the inner workings on? Why do you have amateurs on? Because you know what? That's the future. Those are the people that make the sport happen. You know, and they say, why are you always so grateful to the fans? Well, if it wasn't for the fans, I wouldn't exist. And, you know, I know people that heard the story before, but, you know, I wouldn't take pictures with people. I wouldn't sign autographs before. And you kind of had to talk with me. Said, bro,
you
always got to take a picture. Yeah, you always got to take a picture. You always got to give an autograph. Because you know what? Those people are the people that made you. Those are the people that follow you, that create you, and help you stay relevant. And I said, I took it to heart, and you said, bro, I will not stop taking pictures with people until the last one gets their picture. Then I go to work. And you know what? People, if you don't want to believe it, that's a true statement. I've seen it time and time and time again at multiple shows, multiple promotions. Jacob has never turned down an autograph. He's never turned down a picture, and he will take a picture until the very last picture is taken. And if he can't do it at the moment, he will get back to you and take that picture.
Yeah,
and at one
that,
moment
yeah.
you told me, you said, bro, you need to get back to the people that made you. And what is it that made you realize that? Because I think that's what sets you apart from every aspect is you've always given back. You've always
yeah.
been willing to show and that compassion, the unity, the love for the people that made you in this sport. What is it about you that had you decide at a very young age that you were gonna walk that path?
Yeah, no, you know what? My parents were like that, Don. They always gave back, and our whole family has always been like that. So that's a culture that we grew up with, you know.
Yeah.
So it's very easy. But I, you know, the thing about it is, I always look at it as those fans were me. I was that young kid growing up as a farm worker. These guys, they're simple people, you know. They want a little touch of what you do, right? So for me to give them something special is something for them to talk about. And we all want to talk about something about bragging. Oh, man, Stitch here. Stitch gave me a swab, or we took a picture, and I've done it with you. You know, I'm holding like I'm working a cut on your face, or I'll Stitch, you know, wrap my hands. And so I always give back that way they could create stories for themselves. And those are memories, you know. So, but I remember is, the reason I always try to stay humble is, I think I told you the story before, Don, is years ago, before I even moved to Las Vegas, and I've been here, 24 years, I was here for kickboxing or boxing, and my three brothers were with me, and we had an after-fight party, and we're talking to Randall Cunningham, which at that time was a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, but he lived here in Vegas. And we're talking to him, and one of Don King's guys comes up and tells Randall, I say, hey, Randall, I need to talk. Randall Cunningham, being the star that he was, and we were nobody, he looks at this guy and says, you know what, let me finish talking to these guys. And I thought that was so respectful, and that's something I've always wanted to be like Randall Cunningham. It took nothing on his part, but it's something that I remembered forever and something that I've relayed many, many times, and I'm telling that story to you right now. So those are the kind of effects that I want to give people, the impressions, I should say, not effects. Those are the kind of impressions I want to leave with people as, you know, Stitches, you know, on top of the world and all that, but here's how he treated me.
Yeah. And see, that I've been doing shows with Dean Lasseter and Craig Nocello, you know, other cut men in the industry, and you know, people, you know, ask me, why do I do these types of shows? And the reason I do them is, for one, the sport is down. Two, they're my brothers. And three, my show has always been about just being real, about being reality. And, you know, it was an honor for me to have Dean Lasseter mutually host the show with me and interview you, because
yeah.
it's... Well, people don't understand, and this is what the reason why I do it is because, like, come fight night, you and Dean, you guys don't get to sit down and chop it up that much. And the reason I bring them on with the fighters is because when it comes fight time, it's business, it's work. They don't get to sit down and share stories and get to learn each other. And yeah, of course you get to meet each other, but you really don't get to know the man behind the fighter. So having aspects like you and Dean and Craig and other, you know, fighters come on my show and mutually host it with me, it's a tremendous feeling. Because the other night I interviewed James Lights Out Tony. He's a tremendous brother of mine. And I love when he comes on, because he always comes on, he goes, "Dandy, Dandy, Dandy Don." And, you know, at first I was like, what? But then a homie of mine that's in the boxing world, he said, "Hey, bro, James Tony doesn't give out monikers very much." And I sat back and I thought about it. And even though I'm a few years older than James, it meant the world to me. It kind of almost was like that moment with you and Vladimir Klitschko when he said, "You can call me son." It's like one of those moments that it just makes your heart feel like you've accomplished something. Like that respect level is nothing that you can really put into words. You know, you said that moment with Klitschko almost brought you to tears. Well, to have James Lights Out Tony call me, to have Sugar Ray Leonard call me, you know, and others in the sport, you know, it made me come to the realization that I've already reached the top, bro.
Yep.
I've already reached the mountaintop. I've already succeeded in what I set out to accomplish. Because I sat there for, you know, after talking to James, you know, after the show, you know, I just realized I talked to Sugar Ray Leonard for 2 hours on the phone. And then I talked to a couple of other fighters, and I started looking back at all the interviews I've done with legends, and being able to talk to Pat Miletich and all these other people on a regular phone call basis. I've realized that I've walked a path in my life that many can't ever say they've done.
Right, exactly.
So
at that level.
Yeah, at that level. So what does it mean for you, Carnal, to sit back and have those reflections and those relationships in the sport world and in regular life and out of the sport world and the movie industry and the music industry and everything? What do those moments mean to Jacob Duran when you're sitting in a chair and you look back and you realize what you've accomplished and the people that you've become family with?
Yeah, I guess the operative word to all the above would be I did it. You know, you're talking about the movies. Yeah, I mean, God, I've been in like 6 movies, and, you know, how many guys, you know, I've been in 3 movies with Sylvester Stallone, you know, back to back with Michael B. Jordan, and, you know, Woody Harrelson, Antonio Banderas, you know, Kevin James, and Salma Hayek, and, you know, who's been privileged to do that, and, you know, who's been privileged to work with so many great fighters, you know, like the Klitschkos, and, you know, even MMA, Fedor Emelianenko, you know, the Emperor. And all that, and it's a mind blower, man. You know, and I've been fortunate. So when I look at these moments, it's just not so much about me bragging, but you know what, I did it. You know, that mountaintop that was there that I wanted to climb, I climbed it. And like you said, Don, you're on top. So for me to look beyond on top of that mountain, and then I've been on that mountain. And I've been on that mountain. It's a pretty nice feeling, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it really is, because, you know, my son is 34 years old, and I love the little asshole. But, you know, I'll post the show, and he'll come in and go, "Oh, my God, you have so-and-so on?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I said, "Why don't you call him?" "Oh, no, I couldn't do that." And I'm like, why? I said, they're my brothers. They're my sisters. You know, you could call in and you can ask. I'll answer the phone in the studio. You know, he's like, oh, no, I could never do that. It's like he gets starstruck, you know. And in a way, I kind of have in my career there. You know, I have my favorite fighters. And you brought me an interview that was really on my bucket list. And I've been able to do several shows with him since then. But Livingstone Bramble, baby. Livingstone Bramble was just, man, that moment for me in my life, being able to interview Livingstone Bramble was, man, it's like the freaking cherry on a Sunday, you know. And you helped me get that interview, and
yeah,
you know
me and Bramble, Don, me and Bramble's one of my best friends, and you know, I worked with him at the end of his career, and you know, his big thing was beating Boom Boom Mancini twice. You know, so, but this guy could have hit. But yeah, I'm glad. I know he had a good time with you.
Yeah, he's been on four times since, you know. And
that's good.
I love it. And then another show I did because of you was Mr. Burt Watson. And, yes. You know, who would have known this great man came from a textile industry into the sport? This sport truly has a cast of characters in it. It really does, man. It just, it amazes me when you get to meet these people one-on-one and find out who they really are. And that's why I created the show and this platform was because they see you on TV. They see you on, you know, at the fights and or on another show, and they don't really get to know who you are. They don't get to know the man behind the role we play or we walk in. Either the sport or in Hollywood or whatever it may be. But one thing I've noticed about you is you've always remained who you are. And that's so dope because that is an aspect of life I look up to. You know, I look up to people and I call them mentors. Who would you say is the mentor in the walk of Jacob Durant?
You know, Chuck Bodak, I think, was the last one that I really looked up to and kind of helped me get where I'm at. And if you remember Chuck Bodak, for those that don't remember, you know, he's the one that looked like Colonel Sanders, and he would put the tape on his forehead. Let's say he was working with Oscar De La Hoya or Julio Cesar Chavez or Maromero Perez, he would put their tape on his forehead, and that was him. But he was a legendary cutman at that time, and he's the one that you know, really kind of helped me get started here when I moved to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I still envy your weather, man. I envy your walk. I wish that I had just a fraction of the opportunities and friendships that you've created in the sport. But, you know, for you to put Cutman for Hire on my show, I thought was the most beautiful thing in the world, because Juan Ramirez is a tremendous cutman. He's a tremendous individual. And I know you just don't conjoin with anybody in life. So Juan had to be awesome. And, you know, I got to look at him, see what he does in the sport. He's a truly humble, blessed soul. What was it about you, Jacob, that had you become one with Juan Ramirez? Because he really is a tremendous man.
Yeah, it happened with a dream, Don. Literally, I had a dream that I teamed up with Juan because, you know, I had my Stitch Premium products, my tape and my Chaos Well, and I was selling the Quick Aid, and the tape started selling well, and I couldn't keep up with it because I was traveling on weekends. So if I got your order, let's say Friday, I couldn't get it out till Monday instead of Saturday. And so through a dream, I had a dream to that Juan and I were working together. So I called him up and I said, look, man, I've had this dream, man. You know, would you mind carrying my products? And sure, of course. You know, he was all excited. So that's how we teamed up. And it's funny you bring him up today, because today is like our anniversary of when we signed to work together 2 years ago. And here you are bringing him up. But he's a good guy. You know, when it comes to, you know, the cornerman supplies and the cutman supplies, you know, for fighters and trainers, that's the go-to place. So I'm honored to be working with him.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude, and man, he sends me shirts and things of this nature, and you know, it's just beautiful. But you entered into another correlation, and you graced my life and your belief in what I do and who I am, and then the stupid coronavirus.
Yeah.
Aspect came up and the sport got shut down right after we had, you know, Mark on the show. And I sat back and I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, damn, you know, here I was booked out for 3 months. Things were looking good. I just got signed on as an ambassador for one more round. And then this happens. And
yeah.
Then, you know, the beauty of who that man is. It's tremendous. The other day, he sent me a message just out of the blue. He sent me a message. He said, hey, brother, I just want to let you know I haven't forgot about you. I'm going to take care of you once things start picking back up. And, you know, I got you. You know, what was it? I'm not going to say his last name because people don't need to know that, you know, but what was it about you that had you stand side by side with one more round and Mark?
You know, it was faith, or fate, I guess. The way that Mark and I came to be partners was he was my sponsor when I was with the UFC years ago. And then, you know, we separated, and of course I left the UFC and hadn't seen him for a while. And then years later, I always believed in One More Round. The name of the company was One More Round, and people thought that it was my company because I would always give the fighters that One More Round. But I lost contact with Mark, and finally we hooked up, and you're right, we brought One More Round back together, and it started kicking off. I broke it out when Tyson Fury fought Deontay Wilder, and then the week after with Jesse Vargas. And that's the apparel company. And then we talked to you, you know, about being an ambassador and, you know, you working with the handicapped people. And, you know, Mark has some ideas about making clothes to fit them and make them feel important. And so just so many things. And then this fell apart. But Mark, now we're still in communications. And right now he's making like the masks and everything. But now we'll kick in and we stay in contact all the time. And matter of fact, he just sent my wife a message. You know, happy Mother's Day. So he's doing good. So we will team up again.
Oh, yeah. That's a gimme, because it really made me just, it made my heart smile when he hit me with a message.
Yeah.
And
good guy.
Yeah, super guy. You know, and rarity in the sport like you. You know, Carnal, I've had you on for just about an hour. I'm just going to ask you a few more questions. And We always get in these conversations and we roll deep, but you know, the thing about it is I want to ask you, because I think you'll give me the most affirmative answer out of anybody. You know, I look at the sport for the beauty. I look at the sport for the brotherhood. I appreciate the fans, as you've taught me to. And I think we'll be back and we'll be strong again. But we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, and I kind of just want to get your thoughts on it, because today is Mother's Day, and I hit you up and I said, you know, hey, are we still doing the show tonight? We at the time I didn't realize it was going to land on Mother's Day, and you were like, yeah. And so first and foremost, tell the missus, you know, happy Mother's Day for me. But when you look at these moments and these things that we're all going through and every path that you've walked on, what message can Jacob Duran give to the sport? You know, because you've touched many fighters in life and you've given them hope. What would that message of hold your chin up, look ahead, hold on, what would that message be in that retrogard to the fighters that you can give to them? Because you've walked the path of adversity, you've walked the path of struggle and hurt and pain. You know, some of these younger people, they don't know what it's like, but many look up to you and many admire you. So what would be that message that comes from your heart to them?
You know, I think expect change and learn to make your adjustments like right now, because nothing's ever going to be the same anymore. And it might even, you know, trickle down to the simple things like training the way you used to train. That might change because of the situations that we're in right now. The style of fighting that you might be doing because of only, you know, I don't know, but where the fights are going to be at. So all that is going to change. And I think, you know, as fighters, they have to, and just like everybody, I always prepare for the worst case scenario, Dom. And I think in this situation, we still have, I think there's still going to be a lot of changes coming to us before things get leveled off. So prepare yourselves, you know, not only mentally, but physically, but make sure that you make your adjustments according to what's going on in this world, because it's right now it's a crazy world.
Yeah. You know, I know you're enjoying time with family, and it's much needed time that you don't get, because one day I'll talk to you, you'll be in the UK. I'll talk to you a day or two later, you're in Brazil. I'll talk to you a day or two later, you're in New York. And hell, I think I was right next to Planada, and I called you one time, and you took my phone call, and you were on the set of Creed doing a reshoot. And,
yeah.
You know, so how blessed are these moments for you right now, even though the outside world is living in such chaos? You know, what do these moments mean for you? Because I know your grandkids, your kids are the light that truly puts that heartbeat in Jacob's Fish Duran, or in Jacob Duran, I should say. You know, what are you taking away from these moments? Because now you get to spend that time with your grandkids. What does it mean for you to sit there and be able to relish in those moments?
Well, no, Don, I don't get a chance to spend with my grandkids right now because, you know, we're all in our own isolations. But I do get to spend 100% of my time with my wife, and that's a major, major benefit, you know, because, you know, like you and your wife, you've been together or married 35 years, and, you know, I'm behind you, but, you know, these are moments that you're right, because I've been here and I've been there and I've been here, and now on these lockdowns, on the positive side, I'm Jacob, you know, and my wife calls me Jacob, not Stitch. So it's nice just to sit back and spend some nice quality time, because we mentioned earlier, you mentioned earlier, you just don't know what tomorrow holds, bro. And if anything, at least I can say I'm having a good time right now with the critical thing that's going on in our life. And it's funny, I don't know if you've seen the movie Bird Box, but Bird Box is like a science fiction movie, and you look at Bird Box, I looked at it the other day, and I think, shit, it's the same scenario as what's going on here, you know, and so these are dire straits, no doubt about it, you know. If it's not physical, it's mental, you know, so there's two wars that we have to fight as individuals, and that's why it's important for each one of us to be physically and mentally strong. I mean, you know, it's crazy. But be healthy, stay healthy.
Yeah. Our state just opened, you know, on May 4th. And, you know, May is a bad month for me because they got my wife's birthday May 3rd. I have our anniversary May 7th, and then there's Mother's Day today. So it kind of hits the wall a little bit hard. But, you know, it really – at first I was sad, bro. And, you know, here we are sitting celebrating my wife's birthday dinner in the cab of my pickup truck outside of a restaurant in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we made the best of it. And that's what people need to do in life. You need to make the best of the situation that we're in. And don't look at the adverse side of it always. Because if you do, then you become a pawn in that aspect of losing control, dwelling on things, and it can become hurtful. So take each and every situation for, you know, as a blessing.
Yeah,
and that's what we did on the third. We, you know, we made it a blessing, even though it was in a cab of a pickup truck. We made it a blessing. You know, our state opened up, and on our anniversary, very very few stores are open where I live, but they opened the state, and I realized then that a lot of businesses weren't going to open back up. But there was a restaurant that is a nice restaurant, and I kind of had to bribe the manager of the restaurant, because they're reservation only, but I kind of had to bribe him to get us a table, because I told myself in my heart, you know what, my wife deserves better than another meal in the cab of a pickup truck. And so I made that night happen for her. It cost me a little extra, but they were only allowing 25 people in the restaurant, so I made that night happen for her. And those are the moments that matter. It's not the gift. It's not even the dinner. It's the fact that it happened. And we came together and we made the best of it. And that's what life is truly about, people. Make the best of each and every situation. You know, times may get darker than what they are now, but they may get brighter. We're not the ones that make the decisions. We're not the ones that are the judge of that. God is, you know, and I'm going to make every day the best day, because as we all have said on the show many times, we're not promised tomorrow. Hell, we're not even promised 5 minutes from now. You know, Jacob, you truly are the greatest man I've ever met, other than my grandfather. And he wasn't even blood, but he made me the man I am today. You know, you've mentored me in many ways, but I want to kind of take tonight's show on a whimsical note and a kind of a comedic note, because it meant a lot to me. You know, there's people out there that know of our relationship, know of our friendship, and, of course, there's many pictures of us across the Internet. And
Cheech and Chong.
You know, yeah, the Cheech and Chong moment, bro, that, to me, that made me smile greater than I've ever smiled before, because, you know, here I got people sending me memes calling us the Cheech and Chong of MMA. You know, and I sat back and I thought about that, and I said, you know what, we kind of do look like that, you know, we kind of are that way. So, yeah, to me it was a blessing, and I hit you up and I said, bro, and I shared a couple of the memes with you, and I asked you for your permission to post them. And you were like, why not, homie? You know, go ahead. And, you know, what does it mean for the sport to give me and you the moniker, the Cheech and Chong of MMA? Because, really, they're a classic part of Americana. They're a classic part of the Hispanic heritage. What did that mean for you to have that part play out in your life? Because I'm sure you didn't expect it.
No, that's all. That's what makes it fun is when you don't expect it, right? And
yeah.
Hey, man, but it was a match made in heaven, Don. So how can we complain?
Yeah, right. I'm not gonna complain because for me, it was beautiful. It made me laugh my ass off, and I wouldn't want to be connected to any other man in that way. You know, my friend, tonight's show was different than any other show. Well, hell, none of our shows are ever the same because we always have so much to talk about, and we look at life in so many diverse ways, and we care about everybody that comes into our circle, our path, or whatever. But if Jacob Stitch Duran never existed and we just had Jacob Duran, and you had a journal in front of you, and you had to write down a statement from your heart correlating these times, what would that statement say, Hermano?
Ah, it'd be very easy, man. It's follow your dreams because they do come true.
But see, I'm not going to let you off that easy, homie. I'm not going to let you off that easy because it's more complex than that. You know, I'll say what I feel. If I had to do the same thing, I would say that I'm blessed to be able to know what I know. I'm grateful for what I've been given in life, and I'm honored to have the opportunity to be the man that I am. So in those regards, I know you say live your dreams, and we've already lived our dreams, but what sits in the heart right now of Jacob Duran? You know, what is it that gratifies you, homie?
You trying to be like a psychiatrist?
I am a psychiatrist, bro.
I know. I just figured that out, man. I just went through a psychiatric treatment with Don, and I didn't figure it out till just now. But now, you know what? In closing, really, is I'm blessed, and you know, like I say, I have, you know, gratitude and blessed for what has been given to me, you know, and they've been offered to me, right? And
yeah,
to make the choices of taking this or taking that and making the best out of it, to me it's inspirational in itself. So, you know, I'm glad to have been here and to see that it was possible for me to do what I wanted to do ever since I was a little kid, is to be a professional. It was never about the money, never about the fame, just to say that I was a professional.
Yeah, just to say that you did it. You know,
yeah,
it's crazy, and I apologize about that, Dean. But, you know, something about me, a lot of people may know, you might not know. I'm just a kid that came from the projects, a kid that was beat, sexually assaulted, and shipped off to live with my real father, who was quite wealthy, who didn't want me, and shipped me off to military school. I never understood what family was about until I had my own. You know, my mother didn't tell me she loved me until I was 30 years old. But I always had those people that told me I would never be anything. And my message to the world and of hope and unity is, you can be something. I came from nothing. I got my master's in engineering science. And one day my wife looked at me and said, you want to live your dream, don't you? And I said, yeah, I do. She said, well, go live your dream. So I quit a $100,000 a year job to make nothing. to take events that I was hired to work, didn't know if I was going to get paid. I had to pay for my own hotel, my own airfare, sometimes my own ticket to get into the event that I was hired to work with hopes that I would get paid. But I lived my dreams. I have no regrets. And the people that have crossed my life, thank you for help making me, and thank you for help creating this show. And the numbers keep rising. We're the number fourth show in the nation now. And you know what? We did it organically, without a corporate dollar. I've got four tremendous sponsors, Jacob being one of them, that have allowed my show to exist and to continue to grow. And it's an honor for me to share people like Jacob Duran with the world. You know, I get opportunities that most don't, and I cherish each and every one of them, just like I do the people that cross the path in my life. You know, I'm no greater than anybody. And, you know, Jacob, I know you're the same way. We don't consider ourselves in front of people. We don't consider ourselves behind people. We consider ourselves side by side with everybody. That meaning that we're equal. We all hurt. We all bleed. And we all feel the same pain in life. It's what you decide to make of who you are that makes a difference. Garnaut, it's been an honor and a privilege to have you on. And, you know, you say therapist, and that makes me laugh because I had the world champion, Alima Leigh McFarland, on my show.
Yeah.
And she hit me up, and she even left a comment on my radio station page that, my God, that I felt like I was on the phone with my therapist, and I didn't have to pay for it. But, you know, it's reality. It's real. You know, I want my show to be Don and Jacob having a phone call just with almost a million people listening, you know, and that's the way life should be. I always say, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember a lie. If you create real, people will listen. And thank you for making my dreams come true to the world. And to you, sir, you've made my dreams come real. And it's an honor just to call you brother. The days will get brighter. There is light at the end of the tunnel. But, you know, Garnaut, I'm going to pass the mic to you. If there's any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, sir.
Thanks, man. Pretty much covered it. But, just, you know, let everybody just stay strong and, I say, physically and mentally, because, you know, this what's going on with this pandemic could break you down, and things are going to get better because it's the beginning and end to everything. So, you know, just stay strong. But always good being with you, Don. It's always a pleasure, my man. You know, you stay strong, and happy Mother's Day to your wife again, and we'll talk down the road.
Oh, yeah, and you better share this show out, bro. The link is in your inbox. I had my assistant send it to you. You're tagged in it. But you better share this one out, because you know why? Because I'm asking you to.
No, man. All right.
I'm giving you a bad time. I love you. I love you, Garnaut. God bless you.
All right,
and,
my man.
Give your wife a kiss for me, and spend the rest of the day having a glorious time. And until we meet again, my brother, I love you, and God bless you.
Love you, too. Thanks, my man. Then I'll have Mark send you some T-shirts from One More Round. So,
that'd be.
I'll touch base with him tomorrow. All right, Don. All the best, man. God bless.
All right, love you, brother. God bless.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jacob Duran. Kind of a sideways show tonight. I know you're used to the sports show, but you know what? We're not in a sporting time. You know, although I will admit it was nice to see Justin Gaethje beat the crap out of Ferguson last night. I've known Justin Gaethje since World Series of Fighting, when people told him he was never going to amount to anything, never going to go anywhere, that he couldn't get in the UFC. Well, look at him now. He's on top of the world. And I still stand to my thought that Dana, it's not about the money, homie. You should have made that fight free, because it's the fans that made you and the fans that will continue to make the UFC shine. And I think you did them dirty, homie. So, Dana White, I think your next event, I think you need to take away the pay-per-view charge and let the fight go for free. You owe that to the people that created you. On that note, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran and Juan Ramirez, the86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie, One More Round with Jacob Stitch Duran and Mark, and Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice. You know, people, we've never lived in these times. You know, it's going to get darker before it gets brighter. And for all of you that have lost somebody in your life, my heart goes out to you. My prayers go out to you. You can't bring back the people that we've lost. Stand strong. Fight for what's right. And we will rise again. Things may be different, but we will rise again. On that note, I want to thank each and every one of you. I know this is kind of a weird song to go out on, but it is Mother's Day, and I don't know, I just feel Tupac and Dear Mama is a song that I need to play. So thank you for listening. God bless you. Please remember to download this episode. The more downloads you get, the more succession we get on iHeart and Univision next week. And I believe the show needs to be heard. On that note, have a good night and God bless.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy, cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the